This is the TTY Dialer, Episode 10, for the week of December 26th through December 31st. Hello, this is Mark Levonier, and welcome to another episode of the TTY Dialer, your companion to WRVO's old-time radio show tuned to yesterday. Every night on the air, starting at 10, WRVO brings you the golden age of radio live to your theater of the mind, the broadcasts of the 30s through the 60s of comedy, drama, mystery, and more. In this podcast, I bring you a blend of radio history, fun with sound from radio's past, and a look at the shows coming up for the week. This is best listened to on Sundays or Mondays to kind of get you ready for the week of old-time radio to come, and also to hear some interesting sound from the golden age of radio. And before we get into what's coming up this weekend show, a question.
Suppose you made a wager involving rather a large amount of money. Suppose you could win that wager by meeting just two conditions. A, making up a brand new word. B, introducing it into general circulation within 24 hours. Could you win your bet? On this edition of Word Detective, prepared as an educational service of this station in cooperation with the makers of Underwood typewriters, we'll be telling the story of a man who did win just such a bet and whose word is still in general circulation today. The background of this word challenge is a bit hazy. We don't know who issued it, why it was issued, or what stakes were involved. We do know the man who accepted the challenge and where and when and how the challenge was met. The bettor's name was Daly, his town was Dublin, and the time, the 1780s. Mr. Daly's appointed task, creating a brand new word which would be known all over Dublin within a day. It was just after dusk when the enterprising Mr. Daly set off on his journey of word propagating. For the next 9 hours or so, he devoted himself to weaving back and forth through the streets of Dublin in the pattern of a conscientious darner reinforcing the heel of a sock. There wasn't a landmark in the city that missed a visit from this Mr. Daly. A visit and a sign. Four large capital letters spelling out in chalk his brand new word. By the time the sun rose over Dublin, Mr. Daly's word had been chalked on sidewalks, streets, and buildings all over the city. All the places where busy Dubliners would be most likely to see it, and wonder about it, and talk about it. Talk, Mr. Daly firmly hoped, very much about it. I ask you now, what sort of a word is that? What's that word mean, anyhow? These were the reactions Mr. Daly hoped for, and these were the reactions Mr. Daly got. By sundown, his word very definitely was in general circulation all over Dublin's fair city. And the enterprising Mr. Daly won his bet. He underestimated himself, actually. By the terms of his wager, he needed only to introduce a word into general circulation in Dublin within the period of 24 hours. He did such a thorough job, and Dubliners are apparently such persuasive talkers, that the word spread far beyond Ireland and has lasted so far 180 years. I'll type it out for you right now on my Underwood typewriter. The four letters which Mr. Daly made up and chalked all over Dublin were these. Q-U-I-Z. Quiz. We define the word now as an informal examination, a sort of question bee. Its original meaning was a practical joke, which in a way is what Mr. Daly was perpetrating on that evening and early morning 180 years ago when he applied a package of chalk to the sidewalks and buildings of Dublin and launched a new word. Now, here are the ingredients for our next edition of Word Detective. A hot Labor Day evening, a crowded railroad station, a word which has become almost an American institution. Don't go away now. I'll be back in a moment.
A drop-in commercial for the Underwood Typewriter Company with its spokesman, the revered star of stage, movies, and radio, Basil Rathbone. These were sort of extended commercials that were released for broadcast in 1959, and at this point in history, Rathbone's legacy was well-established, though somewhat far behind him. Millions of moviegoers and radio listeners knew him best as the face and voice of Sherlock Holmes. He had starred in 14 movies as the detective and also in a radio version of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's stories, both old and reimagined, for about 6 years. When he left the radio series in 1946, he said he was trying to wash his hands of the role of Holmes and the typecasting that seemed to overshadow his talents. After all, he was a classically trained actor who had won a Tony Award for stage work and was nominated for 2 Oscars. But his career move didn't really work out the way he wanted it to, on radio anyway. He got work mostly as a host or actor for mystery programs, with the Word Detective series being among his last. Which, to me, in its own way, leaves its own kind of mystery as I listen to it. Each surviving episode of the Word Detective ends with this.
Don't go away now. I'll be back in a moment.
And then there's just no more tape. What the heck did he say when he came back? This coming Monday on Tune to Yesterday, December 26th, we have Adventure for an Hour with a movie on the air from the Lux Show called Action in the North Atlantic. Then it's an hour of romance from the Theater of Romance and the Damon Runyon Theater.
Your friend Louis, what about him?
Is he the right man for Lily?
Doc, what's been going on?
You do not know?
I don't, I swear it, Doc.
He talks to her.
Oh, Jacques, she's so young. She knows nothing of people and the world.
Okay, that's enough. Where's Louis?
With her. No, in the garden.
Come on.
This Tuesday night, December 27th at 10 o'clock, comedy from Fred Allen and the Charlie McCarthy Show. Then it's westerns from the Hallmark Playhouse with the story of Wyatt Earp, then the Frontier Gentleman from 1950. Hear these shows this Monday and Tuesday, December 26th and 27th from 10 to midnight on the air on WRVO or online streaming at WRVO.org. This Saturday, December 31st, marks the final day of this year, and during the golden age of radio, it was the day that the famous Wild Bill Hickok radio show had its last broadcast in 1954. Since the spring of 1951, about 5 million kids gathered around their radios three times a week at 5:30 for the Mutual Network show, which was in a big way competing with other Western adventures of kind, like the Cisco Kid and the Lone Ranger. And the formula was certainly followed. Actor Guy Madison portrayed the crime-fighting Hickok, who had the Rangers Tonto and Cisco's California in the form of sidekick Jingles, played by the gentle giant with the signature gravelly voice, Andy Devine.
Kellogg's, the greatest name in cereals, presents Wild Bill Hickok!
These two and their adventures in righting wrongs in the name of justice in the Old West was very popular, so much so that the program was actually on television a month ahead of the radio series. And it even stayed on TV well after Wild Bill and Jingles took their last rides on horses Buckshot and Joker on the radio. And this wasn't unheard of with TV on the rise in the 1950s, that almost goes without saying. But several TV shows that had a radio counterpart, Dragnet comes to mind, often reused scripts from the radio version to save time, money, and effort. But this wasn't so with Wild Bill Hickok. There was actually two different writing teams on the job. But even with that, it was pretty demanding on the head radio writer, Larry Hayes, who had to produce three episodes a week. Though the show didn't exactly spin out the historical tales of the Civil War scout-turned-gunfighter, so not a ton of research was involved, and his legend did permeate the series, but it left out completely his well-known death while at a poker game in Deadwood. After he was shot, they picked up the cards he was holding, which were a pair of black aces and black eights, now known as the Dead Man's Hand. So rather than the grim and dark stories of his time in the West, the radio show turned tales of thrills and action for young people instead. Here's an excerpt from the last broadcast of the show from New Year's Eve, 1954.
We didn't quite make it, partner. Here we are, back in town again.
Yeah, that sidewinder got here ahead of us. No telling where he is now.
Hey, Jingles, there's a black horse tied outside the hotel. Might be the one we're after.
Yeah, looks like he's lathered up a little. Yeah, somebody's been riding him pretty hard. Get in there, Joker.
Easy, Buckshot. Who or what?
Oh, this must be the horse, Bill. Reckon our man's in the hotel?
Could be, but it seems like a funny place for a bandit to hide. Come on, let's go see.
Well, he might still make it by midnight, Bill. But this is the gent that took the money.
And if he still got the money, wasn't he?
Yeah, I never thought of that. He could have hidden it, couldn't he?
He sure could. Howdy, Ezra.
Well, why, Bill and Jingles, Happy New Year.
Yeah, it ain't very happy, and it ain't quite New Year's yet, Ezra. We're here on business.
Oh, law business?
That's right. We're looking for whoever just rode in on that black horse.
I didn't notice what kind of a horse he was riding, but a gent just checked in here not more 3-4 minutes ago. Looked like he might have been riding hard. He's pretty dusty.
It could be our man, Bill.
Yeah, it could be. Where is he now, Ezra?
Yeah, I put him in room 5, Bill. Right down the hall there.
I guess we better have a talk with him.
I asked him if he was going to the party out the schoolhouse. Everybody else is going except me. I got to stay here and keep the hotel open.
Oh, the party!
What's the matter, Jingles?
Well, Andrew, you run across the street to Charlie Bevan's office and fetch him over here real quick, will you?
Well, sure. Well, what for?
Don't ask questions. Just go get him. I think we're going to have a big New Year's surprise for him.
Yeah, all right. I'll have him back here. Just give me.
Maybe we ought to wait till we get the money back, Jingles.
Oh, now this feller here in room 5 must have it, Bill. I'm sure he's the one we've been trailing.
I hope so. 4, 5. Here we are.
Well, I don't hear any answer.
We'd better get an answer.
Yeah?
Howdy. We're law officers. We'd like to ask you a few questions.
Oh, I don't feel much like answering questions.
I don't care what you feel like. That's your horse outside?
Which horse?
The black horse and stop stalling. You're talking to Wild Bill Hickok and Jingles. That's me.
All right. So you're the big lawman. I don't have to stand here and jaw with you. I'm going to bed.
You're not closing that door till we find out what we want to know.
All right. That's my horse. So what?
He's lathered up like you might have been riding him pretty hard.
I have been. I've been galloping around all over the county wishing my friends a happy new year. Anything wrong with that?
Only that we don't believe it.
We've been chasing a man on a black horse after night. We think you're that man.
Oh, I don't care what you think. Now, you get out of here and let me get to sleep.
Not until we have a look in your room.
You're not coming in this room.
Oh, yes, we are.
Blast you, Hickok.
Look out for him, Bill.
I'm watching him.
Well, watch this.
And you watch this.
You punch pretty good, but so do I.
Blast him one, Bill. Getting close to midnight.
I'm trying, Jingles. Look it up.
Well, I had enough of this.
All right, let's finish it.
He was kind of a tough one, wasn't he, Bill?
He sure was, Jingles. But he won't bother us for a few minutes. All right, let's look around for that money.
He must have it somewhere. Bill may be here in the bureau.
Well, it isn't in any of his pockets.
Well, I don't see it under the bed.
He's only been here a few minutes. Must be around here somewhere.
Do you look in his hat?
Nope, it's not there. Hey, Jingles.
What?
We didn't look in the saddlebags on that black horse.
Well, that's right, Bill. If he was staying here for the night, he wouldn't have left that horse tied out there with the saddle on.
No, he wouldn't. Come on, let's have a look.
I'll bet he figured on doing some more riding tonight.
He probably just checked in here at the hotel to establish an alibi for himself.
Well, I sure hope that money's here. Not like nothing better than to show up at the school with all that stuff they've been waiting for.
Here comes Ezra now with Charlie. Over here, Charlie.
Maybe we found your money for you, Charlie. Take a look in the saddlebag, Bill.
All right.
Hey, you mean you really trailed down that sidewinder in the middle of the night?
We sure did. Bill just put him to sleep up in room 5. Now we're looking for the money.
Hey, what's all this about, anyhow?
We'll tell you later, Ezra. Did you find anything, Bill?
Yep, here it is.
Good.
You better start counting it, Charlie. But it looks like close to $2,000 to me.
Wow, $2,000.
Hold it right there. This one that moves ain't gonna see the new year come in ever again.
Coming up on Tune to Yesterday, this Wednesday night, December 28th at 10, it's drama from Stars Over Hollywood, then a broadcast of Escape from 1944. After that, an hour of crime with Dragnet star Jack Webb in one of his many mystery series called Jeff Regan Investigator. Then Sherlock Holmes from 1955, though not the Basil Rathbone version, the one with Sir John Gielgud. As for this Thursday night, December 29th at 10, it's The Adventures of Philip Marlowe from 1948, then Rogue's Gallery with Dick Powell from 1945, and in the 11 o'clock hour, it's science fiction with an adaptation of The Time Machine on Escape and an episode of X-1.
On a follow-up shot, Saul had about 2:40 to go. He took a club from his bag and took a few wiggling gestures, set his driver behind the ball and swung.
Pete?
Hmm?
Did you see that swing? Those wiggles?
Yeah. Yeah, well, a lot of guys do that.
Yeah, but it's unnecessary. I mean, you don't have to make those wiggles before you address the ball.
Yeah, sure, and you don't have to spit 3 times every time you got a tough putt, but you do.
But there's still something strange about him. Everything about him is perfection except those wiggles. And he doesn't talk.
Hear these shows Wednesday, December 28th, and Thursday, December 29th from 10 to midnight on WRVO on the air, or again online at WRVO.org. We stream the station live there. On this Monday, December 26th in 1940, legendary Broadway and early film producer Daniel Frohman passed away at the age of 89. From productions of Carmen to Hamlet, Frohman produced what seems like an uncountable amount of plays on New York's Great White Way, and after teaming up with producer Adolf Zukor in 1913, he was in some capacity part of the production of over 70 motion pictures, usually credited as the presenter. And if you're interested in dramaturgy, he really was an instrumental player behind some of the stage and even screen's triumphs and innovations, along with several screen firsts, like productions of Cinderella and Snow White. In terms of radio, it seems to me that he was busy enough on the stage and in the movies and had little interest in producing in the medium or was simply not invited to be on the air. That is until the iconic director Cecil B. DeMille invited him for a quick conversation on the Movies on the Radio broadcast of the Lux Radio Theater, which he hosted, and it was during a performance of the play Burlesque, which told the story about a backstage romance, and interestingly, it was never even a film. So here's their conversation in what is Daniel Frohman's only known radio appearance from the episode of June 15th, 1936.
We are honored tonight by the presence of Daniel Frohman. D.F., as we call him, produced the first play that my father, Henry C. DeMille, and David Belasco ever wrote. It was called The Wife. When the play opened, it was a failure. Nobody came. Naturally, Mr. Frohman decided to close it. My father and Belasco had spent a year writing this play. All their savings were gone. They were desperate. So they went up to Mr. Frohman's office. One took him by the throat. The other took a heavy octagonal ruler from his desk and shook it in his face, saying they'd kill him if he took the play off. So Mr. Frohman kept the play running. He says they changed it to suit him. But in any case, it ran 5 years. Everyone in the theatrical world knows and respects this pioneer of the theater. We revere him as an artist, philanthropist, and gentleman. The 85-year-old dean of the American stage, Daniel Frohman.
Cecil, you're very kind.
No, I'm saying what I felt ever since I was 5 years old.
Well, that was when I used to chase you out of the box office for annoying the treasurer. Even now, it hardly seems possible that you're old enough to have a radio program of your own.
I am just starting in radio, D.F. Do you remember when I was just starting as a young actor at one of your companies?
Yes, I remember paying you the fabulous salary of $40 a week.
That included my wife's salary, too. But I was willing to work for any salary, for the man who started the Barrymores. Ethel, as I remember it, was the first to join you. Then Lionel, wasn't it?
Yes. And then the two of them edged in their little brother, Jack Barrymore, to design our bill posters.
Well, why don't you get him to design one for that big show you're producing on July 1st, the Actors Fund Benefit? D.F., it's been a privilege to have you here tonight.
It's nice to be here, Cecil, and be part of your great enterprise for the for no theater in the history, has reached so many people as your Lux Radio Theater, from your father and mother, who have inherited the highest traditions of the stage. And I know you are true to this trust.
Thank you, David.
A legend of the stage and screen, Daniel Frohman. He passed away this Monday, December 26th, 1940. And coming up this Friday on Tune to Yesterday at 10 o'clock, we have sitcoms with Life with Luigi and the Bickersons. At 11, it's horror from the Lights Out series and a very famous story on suspense called The Hitchhiker.
After I got the car back on the road again, I felt like a fool.
Yet the thought of picking him up, of having him sit beside me, was somehow unbearable. At the same time, I felt more than ever unspeakably alone.
And the Saturday night, if you're not out celebrating someplace, stay in with me. I'll be bringing you a New Year's of Yesteryear special, which is an audio tour of what radio shows sounded like around New Year's. And at 11, it's an hour of quiz shows to ring in the new year. And now we know exactly where the word quiz came from. That will wrap up our Saturday night of old-time radio. Then it's 2017 with lots more of the Golden Age of Radio to enjoy, and hopefully a solid year of this podcast, the TTY Dialer. If you've been listening to the podcast since its launch in October, let me know that you have, and any comments or questions you might have as well. Just send me an email, mark@wrvo.org. By the way, I hope you had a nice Christmas, and I'll be back next week with a new podcast and on the air every night this week, bringing you the Golden Age of Radio. Till then, thanks for listening.